I'm Afro.
I'm Ambush.
I am Unwilling.
I'm Morg. I'm Morg, and we are a podcast.
That was awesome.
I'm sorry, I couldn't get it. I'm sorry.
We apologize to our listeners that we do not have a visual component so you can see my fucking face and whatever's going on. Tonight we are discussing the wonderful
series. Castro, I just gave you an intro song.
I am sitting on the phone now, wondering why I am in this podcast, and they're taking up my lifeblood, and I am going to time myself out of my third floor window, and then my friends will feel real guilty when they think back to it and how I died.
Off the top. Okay. Off the top. Four. Y'all hear this?
Reggae horn.
Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we are discussing the wonderful series Stranger Things, and I'm also tendering my resignation to the podcast. We'll get to that later. So, our favorite 80s nostalgia.
I think we've... Go ahead. I'm sorry. You were so hyped. Go ahead.
You can go ahead, because I'll wait. Go right ahead.
I was just
going
to say, I think we've all quit like four times, at least, so it's cool.
Welcome to the quitting party.
We have returned now back to our favorite 80s nostalgic series, Stranger Things. They still have not come up with any creative ways to name each of these seasons, so this is Stranger Things 3. And I, for one, think this is the best season of the series. And me and my wonderful podcast compadres, we're going to talk to y'all about the first half of the season, episodes 1 through 4. All right. So let's kick off with a quick summary of each major character. Let's start a little quirky. Let's do the parents. Because I always wonder with these kids shows, like, where are the parents? What are they doing? So let's talk about the parents.
The parents. Well, Winona's still all big eyed.
Yes. Very big eyes.
And figure, you know, I feel like since the Christmas lights did so well, they like each season try and find like another thing for her. This time it's the magnets, so it's like, okay, Winona, we
to make her look like a Looney Tune.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like a brilliant, like crazy woman, you know.
Yeah.
So this season is the magnet, so that's cool. The sheriff is
Hopper.
Hopper. Oh, you mean AKA Angry Man?
Full mess.
He has every reason to be angry with what's going on in his fucking house right now.
He's tripping.
Oh my
god, doing too much.
Come on, y'all. One kid is just discovering kissing, and the other kid is literally discovering kissing. Come on.
I'm sorry.
Both kids are discovering all the things.
14.
And what they've discovered the most is disrespect of a parent.
Okay. No, I will say Mike is so pretty disrespectful. But all of them are.
Yeah, sure.
Because of how they is with how they are with Hopper. Hopper takes his fathership a little more seriously. They see him as the leader of their adventure group. And Mike is just like playing himself. And Mike keeps saying, like, you know, he's just this angry man who doesn't want joy in his life, you know. So, like, it's pretty disgusting.
He doesn't want joy. He's trying to date.
He's trying to date Joy.
So sloppy with the whole Joyce approach. Very bad. Made us look pretty bad. There's a lot of pretty bad in there. This whole. All right. Let's center back.
He's a recovering alcoholic, correct?
He is not recovering.
I don't know if there's a recovery.
He's not admitted he's an alcoholic.
Attempt at recovery.
I'm like, he was white girl wasted.
No, he used to drink every morning. He has a child now, and I think he waits until later in the day to drink.
He may have fallen down. I don't think, I can agree with maybe he doesn't drink as much as he did, but he definitely is still drinking.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to ask you this. Throughout the whole series, and not to jump ahead of episode 4, but we watched the whole thing. Did you see?
I did not watch the whole series.
Okay, well, she only did half the assignment. Good work, girl. Pick your
That's the full assignment.
Your couch.
Well, the assignment is 1 through 4.
Right.
For this,
the assignment is the pod is about 1 through 4, but okay. Anyway, I digress.
There we go.
My question to you is, watching the show so far, has Hopper shown you anything that's semblance or resembles a schedule? Or did he clocks in and out of work?
Not even a little.
Did he have a verbal time card?
My man literally said, I don't have time for this when someone called him to come to work. He was like, I don't have time for this.
He doesn't.
So I'm just saying, he didn't have the time for work.
I mean, do y'all have time for y'all jobs?
Not at all. I fill out my time card.
Like, I gotta at least make like I'm there. I might leave.
To be totally fair, he's in the sheriff truck at all times. I mean,
always. Even when it's getting shot up, it don't matter what's happening.
He's
literally on the clock.
I mean, that's got to mean something. I don't know what it means.
Is he on vacation like teachers in the summer? Like, I'm just really working at all.
But everybody's schedule is like, I mean, the way everybody lives is just a little different to me. Like, the kids, they randomly sleep over each other's houses. They randomly
We're in a sleepy town.
Right,
like we gotta remember, this is a sleepy camp. It's summertime. Yeah,
I'm not saying to pardon off your children for weeks at a time at each other's house, but I'm pretty sure there's a little more lucidity. Well, that's not the right word. There's a little more laxness, whatever the main schedule is during. You're just gonna laugh at every damn thing I say tonight. A, B, C.
You're funny.
I was actually laughing at myself, Castro, because I was going to accept lucidity until you were like, no, that's not it. And I was like, oh, yeah, you know what? That's probably not a word. So, there you go, Castro.
So that's what I was really doing.
There's another parent.
But wait. I definitely want to get in on some of this Hopper.
I would like to continue.
He was the angry dad, and sure, his not to take away from the disrespect he was receiving from the kids. At the end of the day, he is the parent, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was definitely
right. So where's the respect level?
Yes, the respect level should be there.
Spare the rod, spoil the Alien 11 girl.
But he's not relating to the kids in the way that he should be. In order for that respect to be there, he just wants the respect. Period.
Okay,
I told him
to like fuck off in the car. Do you remember he cursed at him? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
He told him he was a piece of shit. I want to be very clear here.
Yeah,
Ambush. There has never been a moment in your life as a parent where you accepted anything like this.
No.
And it doesn't matter if you knew how to process your fucking feelings or not.
No.
That was not the way that was ever going to be okay.
And you did.
No, what I'm
and
saying.
You didn't have advice from Joyce, and her eyes getting bigger and bigger every sentence she's lying.
So what I'm saying is, if we look at previous seasons, the way him and Elle related, even in season 2, I don't remember if there was a storyline where he had kids before this. His relationship with children has been poor from the rip. He got thrown into the
situation. Didn't he lose a kid?
That's what I thought. Maybe he lost a kid. I think. I know he lost.
Didn't he lose a kid, y'all?
I thought he lost a kid. I thought he lost a kid.
I don't know.
I think he did.
Yeah, I think he did.
I do think that was his backstory in season 1.
Yeah, I think he lost a kid.
But the fact that...
Because that's why he was so... The fact that he gets with the kids makes it so genuine, because I think he lost the kid.
But the fact that he doesn't know how to have the proper relationship with Elle... All of her friends are able to duplicate the way she reacts to him. You know what I mean? That's because we've all talked about this before. That's how disrespect comes into the household. If your kid has no respect for you, then their friends will have no respect for you. So ultimately, to me, it's like you and Elle don't have the right relationship. The way y'all talk to each other, with her slamming doors and you yelling through doors and all of that shit, like Y'all act like y'all.
Right, he doesn't legitimize his fatherhood.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. It was even strange for him, for me to hear him call himself, like, refer to himself as her dad. It was like, you feel like
her daughter when you,
So it's like,
you dating my daughter.
So I'm not excusing that behavior. I'm just saying I see how that happened. The fact that he had to reassert himself and be like, yo, like, on this drive home, you don't say shit. You disrespect me one more time. Like, the fact that he had to say that means they didn't have respect for you because the relationship you have with Elle isn't right in the first place. Like, how does that disrespect even come into play?
I mean, I hear you.
Right, but... exactly. You're not wrong about what you're saying, mm-hmm. but in what you're saying is giving room for an excuse. Did we see this level of disrespect in the previous season? I don't remember the kids being total dicks.
Because the kids were younger. Like, the kids were younger. Oh, they don't talk to anybody.
How old are the kids right now?
The kids were younger.
So they're
14,
15 right now?
14.
Yeah, 14. 14. So they're 14 right now.
Wait, I want to make that a big point because that's going to be a big point of our reviews moving forward. The age that they hit is so much divorced from when we first started the show and them being like, wide-eyed children, mm-hmm. you know, in terms of the trope, the E.T. trope, the Goonies trope, mm-hmm. the Lean on Me or Stand by Me trope, whatever, the young kids solving the big mystery. As they're getting older, I think this season is shaped so much by them being in that awkward age, being a little bit more disrespectful, finally liking girls, finally liking boys and the like, all that stuff. So I think that's just going to come into play a lot. Them being older
I can give you all of that, and that makes sense, and we're all in an awkward time, and blah, 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 and he doesn't know how to do his feelings right, and he doesn't know how to say the right things to the kids. Those kids that are awkward as fuck and are doing all the things, they are not disrespectful to their own parents. And so, yes, I see what you're saying, which Elle has opened the door because that's the way she talks to him. But the fact of the matter is that is a dynamic that I don't even in any way understand.
Oh, yeah.
So it put me in a bad place of like, what the fuck are they doing with Hopper's character? You're turning this dude into the punching bag, like, of children? Of the children that he kept saving? Like, get the fuck out, fam. Like, that just doesn't even, it doesn't compute because he's the only one who got that kind of treatment. Hmm. None of those kids were disrespectful to other adults like that. Not one.
Yeah. Very true.
Yeah, and I mean, so I feel like as a kid, my homegirl disrespects her mom. That's how she talks to her mom. I'm not going to talk to her mom like that. You know what I mean?
I can't. That ain't got nothing to do with me.
Mm-hmm. Right. I'd be like, dog, like, my mom would never let me do that. But I ain't going to be like, yeah, Miss Jenkins, you a fucking piece of shit. You know, like...
I'm on a general sense that, like, you know, you don't have to take that parent so seriously. Maybe they let you curse in the house. Not directed to them, but just a certain level of, oh, you can get away with that at your house?
Yeah, I feel like they get it, Castro. They're just saying... That personally wouldn't be the way they would handle that shit. And that's what I'm saying. That's true for all four of us on this call. We're not disrespecting
the
wise
parents.
Can we
say what the elephant in the room is?
But.
Can we say the elephant in the room?
Black kids getting away with that shit.
Thank you, Morgan.
What'd you say?
Next parent. Black kids can't do what these white kids doing, yelling at Hopper.
I've seen.
My black sheriff father would pull his gun out.
So I've seen some, very few. Very few growing up. Mostly it was the white kids talking disrespectful. You got to remember, I went to a predominantly white high school in Delaware. So even some of the black kids that were there were influenced by white kids. And some of the ways I would see some of them talk to their parents, I'd just be like, you're out of your mind. Like, you're wild. And then they would almost like not coach us, but it'd be like, don't worry about it. My mom ain't. Don't worry about her. Do whatever you want. And I'm like, no, I'm not. Going to do that.
So let me ask
she told
you
us all. She told us all this. Stay down here. And they're like, "Nah, come upstairs to my room." Nope. Your mom said, "Stay in the living room." I'm cool.
I never called no adults bluff. Like, when we used to say, "My mom is gonna kill me." It wasn't hyperbole. I had moments where I thought she's gonna take me out.
This is the end of my life.
Y'all are doing
life over.
Right.
I didn't want to take that risk.
Yeah.
What was your question?
Well, I'm here now. Yes.
I'm sorry to have taken us down this hopper.
No,
but that,
it's a great road. It's a great
really
road.
Bothered me with throughout the entire season.
But Ann, what were you saying? You were asking. You had a question for Ann.
Oh, my question for Ann was when he said that he witnessed kids doing that. I'm wondering if he said to himself if their parents knew how to deal with their feelings and parent differently than their kids.
Well, as a child, I didn't have that foresight or life experience. It's only as an adult that I look back and be like, oh, y'all crazy. Like, you raised your kids to be disrespectful. They don't come out that way. You know what I'm saying? So you open these doors for them to talk to you all crazy, because I know our kids don't talk to us all crazy. You know what I'm saying? It's not by luck or happenstance that we got kids that don't talk to us crazy. They understand what could and will happen. Real shit.
Mm-hmm.
But you got a lot of these kids walking around without fear of God or their parents, which is just amazing.
Right.
And just cut the fuck up. Like,
in my I had that simultaneously. You know, I had the fear of God in my mind.
And you know what?
That's how that worked.
Another right. really very unique aspect to their relationship is she literally has no reason to fear him. We watched her. We watched them fight season two. We watched her tear that house up. Like, she really doesn't have a reason to fear him. The respect has to come out of a loving situation.
You don't need to be scared to be respectful either.
That's why I said the respect needs to come out of love. And if he's someone that's used to communicating by, but hear me out. If he's someone that's used to communicating by yelling all the time, his 0 to 60, like Joyce tried to walk him through the process, and you know, he threw the playbook out. He threw the playbook the fuck out.
But this is not her first rodeo. She fought. She was she was familiar with the name Doctor. In season one, she called him Papa.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
it was it was a little, twisted and probably not proper, but he probably used that to his advantage and acted fatherly to her. But let's keep rolling.
Yeah,
because I want to talk about this. One more parent to mention, and it's funny because you watch the show, you kind of forget who's sister and brother and parent,
right.
and daughter and all that stuff. Yeah. But Nancy and Mike, no, not. Mrs. Wheeler with the weird old husband, the weird match, and her testing the waters of Billy Tonka, as Prince would say, let's take a dip in the waters of Billy Tonka.
She wanted it.
Think about.
And, you know, honestly, she deserved it. You know? Like, she should have went for it.
Went downstairs and saw her husband's glasses half over his face and the daughter laying there, who could go
but
out
I,
like that?
I'm pretty positive her husband is her dad. So, like, yeah. Go out.
No.
Have fun. Meet a new man.
God.
Don't be out too late, honey.
That
is the grandpa.
Can we also say, like, you know, in hindsight, that's the catalyst. Him going to meet her that night led him to crash and get, the connectivity is there. I mean, she's just funny. I just wanted to bring it up because it was just kind of funny. And then she also had some poignant moments in the series. So I really like how they use all the characters. It wasn't just fan service. Everybody had some type of line or some type of significance. And there was a little more effort in that. In season two, people were kind of all over the place. You know, and Will was the agent, so, you know.
Yeah.
Any other parents that I miss? Did I miss any other parents?
No, but I do think it's funny that we don't see other parents. Like, we saw Dustin's mom for 2 seconds.
Right.
We
didn't see Lucas's parents this time.
She a single mom?
I don't know. Because then is Lucas' mom, does he have a dad? Did we see Lucas' dad ever?
I felt like we did.
I thought we saw both his parents.
Or something. But again, not seeing their parents that much this season makes sense. These kids are older. They're going to the mall by themselves. This is that whole
phase summer. Yeah.
Exactly.
And also the function of the storytelling. Yeah. It's easier to just to focus on the kid. You know, and these because, again, the trope that this comes from. These kids go off on their adventures, and you don't see the adults until later. You know what I mean? But
right.
Yeah.
They keep hollering. Well, they gotta get saved. Around.
Right.
Yeah. people in the task force is there around, but their parents are, you know, right. at a cotillion or whatever. But
right.
Okay, let's move on to the stars. The children, the kids. If y'all would mind, I'd like to take that. And just hit y'all it. Can dive in when you want. Okay. So I watched the review video, and it was really good, and I didn't really realize it, but the kids, and that's 11 included, 11 is representative of puberty for all of these kids in some way, shape, or form. Because when she comes into their life in season one, that's when things stop being Dungeons and Dragons and playing with little figurines, and life starts happening. Mm-hmm. Bullies, feelings, running away from Demogorgons, keeping secrets, figuring shit out. So the kids have always been on this arc of growth. And this season, I think this is a really well done season because it's finally showing that these kids are too old for childish things. And I also think it's ironic that when you look at these series, how these kids and these couple of adults are the only ones that experience this stuff, like whether they're down in a base or whether right. it's at a facility,
right.
nobody else knows what's going on, which is funny. You know, but I think the kid's just growing. If y'all can remember in season one, Lucas hated 11. He didn't understand why she was infiltrating that group. He was really mean to her at first.
Yeah.
And now to see Lucas as the bumbling boyfriend, because that was pretty much his character this year. The boyfriend you don't take advice. The other guy they tell you not to worry about, that me. That was Lucas. You know, Dustin seemed a little in and out, but I like that it showed their disconnectivity as them getting older, but also they still were very connected. That was my summary of the kids. Yes.
So I loved the fact that they kind of split the group, with keeping with the different little offshoot groups that they had to have last season. It reminded me, number one, that Dustin had such a bond with what's his name? Steve.
Yeah, I totally forgot about that.
Yeah. Like, I forgot that they, like, became best buds, you know?
Yeah,
buddy. So I liked, brothers.
Yeah, and I liked how they did that. I like how they still had a cohesive group of kids, even though, you know, two were not kids, but I liked that. I liked that it shows you exactly what happens in summer when someone goes away to camp. You come back and your shit's different. Like, your friend group has done stuff without you, you know, like, or maybe it's not camp, but you went to your grandma's or wherever, like you come back and it's not the same. And I loved that they showed that.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate how they've integrated Max and there's no weirdness about her being there except for her and 11 becoming better friends. So now Lucas was all salty and stuff about 11, and then Mike was all salty about Max, like, oh, okay, so this girl is in here trying to fuck with my shit, you know, like it, and all of that is, that's what happens. Like, it all seems very accurate to me. Mm-hmm. Like, that is what happens during those moments, especially in that time in your life. You question all this new shit. And if anything changes slightly, like we saw it with Will wants to still play Dungeons and Dragons and make campaigns, and they have bigger fish to fry, you know, like they're just not
they're
into
girl them. Crazy, which I think is a little significant to them. You know, the two he wanted to play with mostly were girl crazy at the time.
Yeah. But I mean, is it girl crazy to have a girlfriend? No.
Yeah.
It's girl crazy for a kid that doesn't have a girlfriend.
Right.
So it's annoying to Will because he's not even into it yet, you know?
Yeah, like, that's true. That is true. Yeah.
And so it makes it seem like it's way more than it is. Like, they weren't doing anything that was extra, you know, maybe taking a little time from each other, like, or from the group. Mm-hmm. But they were still being a part of the group. So it was just exacerbated by Will not giving a shit about having a girlfriend yet. Or maybe he cares and he doesn't have one. You know,
could be. Well, he is the one that ultimately doesn't have one when it's all said and done. Right.
Well, and Mike said something to him like, "It's not my fault you don't like girls." Yeah, like
I thought they were going to go in a weird direction with that, but I understood.
What episode are we on? What episode is that, guys?
I don't know. I'm sorry.
No problem. Okay. Okay. So speaking that we talked about the kid, anybody else have anything on kids? I want to talk about one kid in particular.
Are we talking about new people yet, or just
not yet. Yes, still the that's kid. The kid I want to get to.
Which,
yeah,
go ahead.
I want to move right into that. I want to talk about the performance that stole the show. Little Miss Erica.
Oh, man.
I just want to know who wrote
Erica
her.
Without Erica.
What?
And also, would I like to say that the intelligent young black girl that knew a little bit more than her older compatriots reminded me of D from What's Happening.
Yep. Yep.
I got D vibes from Erica. Just the quips. And I actually know what I'm talking about. I'm not just being a silly, annoying kid. I know that I can
Are you talking about like her talking about capitalism and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Well, but more so just being quick-witted, but not just being a smart-ass like I actually am smart.
Right.
And like, you know, taking advantage of the free ice cream scoop with her crew. She knows I can get as many of those as I want. We're not buying anything in here.
Yeah.
You know, that was all a move. And stuff
she was
like
coming
that.
Squad
Definitely
deep.
Got that part down.
But I just loved her. I loved her performance throughout the whole series, and especially in the beginning. And it was funny because I saw news about her being like a main character now, and her name going in the beginning credits and stuff. So I was just curious as how they were going to use her, because she is a little younger. Was she going to tag along? And she hates her brother, so I didn't know how they were going to implement her. Like,
but they really did a fantastic job working her in, because it's the same kind of thing as Game of Thrones with Little Bear. Like, she just got such a great fan reaction that they were like, oh, we need to keep her popping.
Right.
Like, let's get more of her.
They didn't make it corny, like she just gets trapped with them or something like that. Doesn't know what's going on. Like, she was an integral part of everything. So I really like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Super dope.
She's my favorite. Another new character who I guess you can include her with the kids, but she's kind of on the fence, is Scoop.
Robin,
the heroine of Scoops Away, or whatever.
Scoops Ahoy
is Robin. was very skilled and pretty much born to be part of their little crew, like to figure shit out, you know?
I mean, another very smart, intelligent, witty woman.
Yep.
That didn't have to be some weird shit and to be all of those things.
Right. And all right, so you know that I always love when they go full bore with the platonic male-female relationships on these shows. So I really enjoy Robin, that she's not just some romantic interest. She's part of the group, you know, on her own accord.
Yeah.
I always appreciate that. I think it's because it's hard to write.
Dustin puts it out there, though, right?
Does it?
Oh, definitely. Dustin's like, you're in love.
Yeah. He made a move.
Yeah.
Oh.
No.
He didn't make a move.
No, he didn't make a move.
Yeah, he was trying to push it together.
Dustin was trying to get Steve to make a move because he's like, that's obviously the girl for you.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Okay. And I think we have, let's talk two more characters.
Right.
Two of the main Russians. Well, there's two main Russians, but I don't think we'll speak about the other Russian until the second part of this review.
Right.
But let's talk about one of the Russians. I'll be back. Grigori.
Arnold.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean,
the way they played that was
perfect.
Is that
an annoying ripoff? Can we all say that? That's like,
it was a tribute.
Obviously,
it was a tribute. It was a tribute. It wasn't a ripoff. Yeah, they gave us enough. They gave us enough of it early on, even with the limp and all of that. Like, they gave us enough for us to know, okay, dude, you're giving us a little bit of Terminator, but they didn't hang on to it. You know what I'm saying? They still allowed the character to be what it needed to be within this story, but it was dope.
Well, the limp was curious to me because I thought it showed that he wasn't human, because I thought he cracked his leg and he just fixed it eventually. But, he just was hurt. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I took that the wrong way at first. But I think the show was playing loose with that. Like, was this like a super soldier or something like that? You know, I think they were playing a little loose with that.
Mm.
I could be wrong. Okay. Moving along. Backstory.
Well, wait. Should we say who the Terminator was, though? The Terminator is the enforcer. Mm-hmm. What's his name again? Yes. I'm sorry. Gregory.
So he's like the muscle.
Mm-hmm. He's the muscle of the Russians that they have stumbled upon.
Yes. And, yo, did y'all know it was a little hard for me with the Russian thing? I said, is this outdated? Why are you talking to Russian? I'm like, oh, the show's in the 80s.
Is this
right.
It took me a quick second. Like,
you're like, Donald Trump, no collusion. What's going on?
Well, I'm old enough where I remember every enemy was Russian.
Every single
from,
one.
Like, Arnold Schwarzenegger, right. Red Dawn. That was a big movie because he was like a Russian agent working with us. And the Cold War was like so prominent. So like everybody had that red, yellow star, the red on. So just to see them as villains again, it just took me back. Like, oh my god! Like,
when
are we fucking with the Russians?
And Castro, it took them a while to move from Russians to Germans, did it not? It took before we started getting Germans and Eastern European villains. It was straight
Eastern
Russian
Europeans.
All day, every day for everything. Just the Russians.
Oh my god! I was cracking up, and I was like, "Yo, what are the Russians doing in this show?" I really had a little moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Any other characters anybody want to speak on?
Yeah.
I think that was succinct. That we did a good job. All right. So, backstory. I mean, we normally review backstories or talk about the backstory when we talk about movies and series and stuff, but I think this backstory is kind of embedded. If you're at season 3, I'm hoping you watch season 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
And,
right.
you know, just...
Don't play
I think
yourself.
Some people... I think some people see the show as just some 80s nostalgia vehicle. And I think they're selling themselves short. It's in the 80s. What else are we supposed to look at?
Let me ask you guys something real quick. I mean, I may be asking you to, you know, explore a mentality that's completely alien to you. But what do you think it is about people that would see all the hype and just be like, okay, I'm just going to watch season. I'm just going to start now. I don't need to. I'm just going to do that.
I
want to slow down. Pause.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can only ask Castro this because he did not watch
the first
Thor 1 and 2 and jumped right into the third Thor.
Right.
So this is a great question for Castro.
Fine.
How is it? How does it work that you know there are previous either movies or seasons, but there's, you know, a big hype around what's happening, so you just jump right into something that you haven't seen previously?
Okay, so there's two reasons.
Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons is the trailer or the previews finally have convinced you to go against your early instincts on the movie or show. Mm-hmm. So you already have some instincts. Okay. Like, I'm not watching this. I'm good. But some preview or something has intrigued you. And usually it could be some appearance of another character that you like that pops up on the show. So like with Thor, it was like Hulk was in it, right? Two is the mob mentality. You're kind of influenced by everybody else egging you on or acting like you missed out on something. Well, I gotta jump in now. And it's funny because now in these 2010s, we're in the age of sequels and trilogies way more than we used to be.
Yeah.
We think there were a lot of sequels and trilogies, but there actually weren't.
Yeah.
If you really look back, there were not. It was really like the success of a series, really having to push the studio to making a second one.
Right.
Now, you know, you get second deals or second seasons before first season's over or the first return to the weekend box office.
Or the actors signing multiple movies from the rip.
Yeah, so you kind of know.
Yeah.
But there's definitely a mob mentality or a consensus where, like, hey, you're kind of missing out, and everybody's telling you to jump on board. Now, either you totally buck the system and don't do it, or you say, all right, let me get on a train at this stop.
That makes sense.
You know,
that makes sense. I can.
You know, but Stranger Things is such a unique show that it kind of implies maybe you should watch the season before, or at least some recap, like, Stranger Things in 6 minutes or everything you need to know before you watch next season type thing. I don't think you can go watch it in cold. You'll be a little lost.
People did the same thing with
people are doing
Game
that
of Thrones.
The point.
Yeah. People did the same thing with Game of Thrones. Like, Desus
Well, he just started with this last season. And was like, what are you doing?
I think they do it with movies a lot. So you can jump into a third movie and not really feel like you missed a beat.
More so like, than the
TV they still got to make it where you want to go, where you can attract a viewer that never seen anything before. Yeah. You still got to appeal to that.
So I think that since it's like become normalized with movies in some way, it's in some ways it's also like people will do it with television shows too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right.
Moving along to the over theme, which we already talked about. Russia still ain't shit.
Bruh.
All right, so they know that there's a passageway in Hawkins. They don't know that everything went to shit. I don't know if that's a narrative.
The Russians.
I think they don't know that, you know, Demogorgons escaped and all Demodog, like they have no idea about that.
I think part of them knowing about the gateway being in Hawkins would be them knowing everything that happened there. So I think they do know what did happen. Be curious to find out how much time transpired between what happened in Hawkins and them starting the experiments in Russia, because that's where they started them first. Remember, you know, so.
Right.
This
is a year later, but I'm not sure.
Right.
How many years has this series been so far?
Plus, we're talking about, you know, this is just.
I think they pretty much end where they began.
No, there was a jump between season one and season two, but not by a ton.
Right.
Right? It wasn't years.
Okay.
Yeah.
But then I feel like they're doing summers, right? I feel like they're doing summers. Because this just started
being the summer. It was Halloween for all of it.
Oh, yes, you're right. Well, good call. Definitely. Thank you.
So we're talking about a time when, you know, the U.S. and Russia were always competing with technology and, you know, spies and all of that shit and, you know, trying to race to whatever new emerging technology or weapon or energy source next. So it does make sense. And I'm glad they kind of worked that angle, you know, with them trying it in Russia first and then realizing, you know, it wasn't working over there. So, yeah. It made sense. It worked out for me.
I have a little side question. Was anybody disappointed that Russia was the big bad? I mean, amongst the Mind Flayer and the monsters and stuff, was anybody disappointed with Russia's involvement? Or did it make sense?
They've been involved. They were involved before, you know? So, nah. The Russia angle doesn't mean anything to me other than time period and exactly what Am just said. Like, all of that that competition between America and Russia and who got to the moon first and who's doing this, this, and that. Mm-hmm. Like, they're trying to create a weapon and trying to find a way to weaponize these things. So that makes sense. It actually pulls the whole sci-fi, none of this could ever happen, to, oh, shit, that could happen.
you know what I mean? And then when the boy Murray brought up the Russians in the first season, but I thought he's a conspiracy theorist in the 80s.
Right.
Who else is he going to blame? But I didn't think they would show up in the series. So
yeah.
I was pretty interested when they popped up. I was like, okay. Like I said, I was still surprised. I'm thinking it's like the 90s or some weirdo shit. And I'm like, what are they doing here? So
how'd y'all get here?
Cool. I want to take a little sidestep and then we'll get to the plot. Who got on your nerves the most in the first four episodes? I want to go around the room.
I need a moment to think on that. Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Amber,
can I go?
Yes, Mort. You got it.
So the kids being disrespectful to Hopper was my most nerve wracking shit. I hated it. I did not love it. But who else got on my nerves was Max. And I really like that kid. But she got on my fucking nerves being the, and let me explain why. She was being the girlfriend to Elle that has had a boyfriend for 2 days and is like, I know everything. Boys are stupid. Let me tell you everything you did to me. And it was like, you are not giving great advice at all times. And Elle is at a disadvantage. You know what I mean? Like, for as much as she can has powers and can do certain things and spy on you if she wants, like, she's at a disadvantage. She doesn't fully understand all of the same shit. She didn't have this childhood that these kids had, you know?
Right, right.
Like, none of that shit computes. Like, she's still speaking broken English, basically.
Yeah.
So for Max to be telling her, like, oh, this is what you got to do. You got to dump his ass, and you got to do this, and you got to do it. It's like, man, reel it in. And it was, here's the thing, accurate fucking depiction of a girlfriend.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. Like, I don't know, Af, if you had that girlfriend. I definitely have, from 11 years old until today. Like, I have that girlfriend in some way, shape, form, or fashion, who's got the best advice, who never listens to it, and their advice is trash anyway. So that was my, damn, Max, don't be that girl. And she was that girl.
Yeah, I think I was really annoyed with Max because it was like, Max, you haven't been here since day one. You don't know what 11 has been through.
Right.
No.
And so to be trying to, because it's not just her boyfriend. You're like stepping between her and the friends, essentially, too.
Yes.
But yeah, also, you're telling her to do all this shit that, like, she don't need to be hanging out in no fucking mall. Do you know that she was a fucking experiment? You know?
Right.
Like, she's supposed to be hiding in the woods. You know, like, you need to understand what the fuck is going on here and not just, you know. So that was my annoyance with her, of her doing the most. Of,
like,
I
was just going to say, the idea of empowerment is fantastic, but you're putting her life in danger. And so it's that careless, reckless kid shit. Your logic is be your own woman, but also she could just get everyone in that mall killed. Like, realistic.
Straight up. Right. Mm-hmm.
So that's mine.
For me, it was Will. Will was getting on my nerves. him.
Was it when he was touching his neck?
Yeah. Like, you keep getting these, you know, you keep getting these sensations, just your, you know, your flair sense keeps going off, and you keep, you're keeping that shit to yourself as if we didn't experience two whole seasons of you keeping secrets and shit not panning out. Fam, at this point, there's no one to hide it from. You know what I'm saying? There's no one to hide it from. Everyone, your entire friends and family know and experience this shit together. So now here it is, you're getting sensations that dude is back, and you're like, oh, it's no big deal, it's nothing. No, it's not nothing. It's exactly what everyone knows about. Will you fucking tell them, please? Like, what are you talking about,
fam? Yeah, not only is it not nothing, they, like you said, they know about it, but they have noticed something's wrong with you. Hey, right. Will, are you okay?
Right.
Like, you're staring off blankly in the movie. You're doing weird shit. Hey, Will, are you okay? Oh, totally fine, man. Tote's great.
Tote's great. This is some killer week. Like, Tote's great.
Right.
Don't
Except
fuck
for
up.
You're touching that weird part of the back of your neck and you're being weird now.
Right.
Still nothing? No, nothing.
still nothing? No, you're good? Oh, okay. Great. Yeah, so Will was
my... And then it always leads. Yeah, and we didn't get to it yet, but it always leads to Will giving him this long debriefing about the moment he's been going through. He did it last season.
Right.
You know, and it's like, all right, then now it's code red and all the other shit. But yeah, I guess it's a plot device. But I'm totally with you. When him being quiet for no damn reason.
Right.
Doesn't make any sense. More?
No, I have a question and I'll do my best not to forget it, but it's not for this moment. So please continue.
Ash, did you come up with your person yet?
Not really. I mean, I agree Max was getting on my nerves. I kind of want to say Nancy, but I don't really have a lot of reasoning other than she just kind of irks me.
Nancy would be my runner-up, yo. It was,
Pam was very annoyed with Nancy the entire time.
Oh, my God.
Like, there was almost nothing that she could do right.
No, nothing. Every time she bursts into the room, I'm like, you're not respecting my workspace. You're exposing my photos to light. Nancy, you do not care.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What you are doing can't always be more important than what I am doing. I am also at work. Like, it was,
Like, did she really think the rat fertilizer thing had wings. I mean, I know
it did.
It was being a dick to her. I mean, yes, here's eventually, but not at the stage that she found it.
Right. Here's the thing, though. This is the reason I wasn't annoyed with Nancy. She was doing dumb shit. Don't get me wrong. But the reason I wasn't as annoyed as Ambush was basically she wasn't wrong.
Right.
What was great about this season as a whole is there's so many different threads being pulled that they don't know are connected yet. And that was a major, that was something. She wasn't wrong.
Yeah. Well, no, she wasn't, but her philosophy versus her method. Yeah, I thought she was going about things.
Yeah, I agree. She white womaned the shit out of this episode. And everything.
Yeah, and she got her boyfriend all sweating she and had shit. And fired.
Like they did, and then came out of there on some "I'm better than this place" shit. Like she definitely did. Do not get
me. Yeah, she did.
I'm just saying, none of the shit that she was, her mission was correct.
Yes.
And it was a good thing she was pulling that thread. She went about it the wrong way.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's great.
I mean, yeah, but you know, it passed the road of good intentions, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You're right.
So yeah, Nancy was. No. I would say Nancy was mine. Thank you for giving some justification in that, guys. I was like, I can't quite put my finger on it, but she was annoying the shit out of me. She was yelling at her boyfriend constantly. Nothing he could do right. And
I said he can do right. Period. Is that not one of the strangest looking people you've ever seen in your life? And I'm not being.
He definitely looks like completely disheveled in every episode.
At all times.
He could be a great joy. He's a great joy for sure.
Yes, he's wet as shit, and his eyes are
wet.
His eyes look like he perpetually has pink eye.
You know what's real funny though?
Yeah,
so I agree with you guys completely. He is a great joy. But then when I was pulling up the information for this podcast, and I'm going through all the actors and getting their names and stuff, and when I came across his photo, I almost didn't recognize him. He looked so cool. I was like, wait, is this the same guy?
Who the fuck is that guy?
Holy, is this Mr. Steal Your Girl? Oh, shit. Damn. All right. Cool.
Not Mr. Steal Your Girl.
Well, the bowl cuts are pretty emasculating.
I was going to say, can I make an amendment?
Can I make an amendment?
What got on my nerves the most was some of these fucking wigs. Will's wig. Was so hard to deal with. Yeah. From the front, it's a bowl cut, and from the back, it's legitimately just sticking out. Like, it doesn't make it. It's white people hair. Why aren't you laying the fuck down? It's not shoulder length. Why are you having so many issues? And it was every time you saw him from the back, it's just like sticking out. Oh, I hate it.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Yeah, you did not like his hair.
Not a fan of that wig.
I had a little bit of problem with the jogger shirt with the curved bottoms. His whole style was chump this season.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fair.
Will gets the short end of the stick.
Will revive.
He does.
Yeah.
I mean, his best outfit was his Will the Wise purple get up. That's the best he wore.
That shit was so terribly, painfully cute. You're still 10 right now.
I know. Ain't you little Will and the little again, mind flaring your nostrils. Come here.
All right. Back on board.
All right.
Okay. The person that got on my nerves the most was our token. He was just our token. So he just seemed like the typical boneheaded boyfriend, even early on. And he was just giving the worst advice himself.
Yes.
Here's the thing for me.
With you. Yes, that is Cash.
I'm talking about Lucas. If anybody's,
yeah,
I don't think Lucas, there's any way we couldn't have done that.
Right.
Okay. But I have a question. This boneheaded boyfriend situation. You guys gave me the reminder. They're 14. So isn't that a part of being a 14-year-old, just being a dumbass boyfriend who 100%. Thinks they know everything and you're just the worst?
100%.
You know what I mean?
Yes, 1,000%.
Yeah.
1,000%.
But you just don't want it to be him or what? Like, what was...
Well, I mean, there's a lot of characters, so there's only so much that can go on with each character. And I necessarily didn't want Lucas to be, you know, the boyfriend friend with bad advice. But he was. And that's pretty much what he did until, you know, everything got serious later. Mm. So it was just kind of getting on my nerves. Because it got on my nerves because I could telegraph it.
Oh.
Excuse you?
No, I thought I was helping.
No, excuse you. No, excuse you.
Oh, my God. How are you this many episodes in and that's the first time you said that to me? That seems like that should be your go-to. No, excuse you.
But, no, what I was saying was I could see it coming when he's going to say something to Mike that's just wrong. And so that's what was getting on there. But, you know,
I
mean, they give Lucas stuff to play with, but, you know, he's just in the corner watching, you know, distracting himself. But anyway, that was my choice.
Okay.
Moving right along. So what did y'all think of the plot so far? The major plot, some of the subplots. We got, you know, I thought it was interesting that we didn't really go to the Upside Down yet.
Mm-hmm. So I'm thankful that we haven't so far.
Okay.
I was curious, like, how many more seasons can we deal with the same thing? Right? Like, how much can we fight the same monster? And I like how in these first four episodes, it's the same but different. There's all of the same elements, but it is different. We're learning more about how the Mind Flayer works. We're learning about how it flays a person, you know? Mm-hmm. And which leaves me with questions, don't get me wrong. Like, I still don't understand the full complexity of, like, Will was an agent last season, but then they got it all out of him, but then also he still feels it and senses it near. It's like he's not played. Like, I don't really understand how that works. Maybe they'll give it to us by the end. I don't know. But I appreciate the way that the story has moved. It's not stagnant. And the fact that it's the summer and it's a totally different setting is changing the game on how much they get to be together.
That was a great move.
Yeah. Like, it just changes the whole everything. The scenery that we get introduced to that piece of shit mayor. Like, there's great little subplots going on for the bigger picture. And I really appreciate
Billy,
the way that they've moved.
Billy and the pool bunny.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Mess.
Hot mess.
Yeah. I can't imagine being a Billy, you know? Like, I know he's loving his life, I'm sure, in the beginning. But, like, having all of those older women just, like, fawning and, oh, my God, here he comes. Oh, it's time, ladies. Mm-hmm. They're switching shifts. Like, that is some extra shit. That is pure sexual harassment happening at your job.
Well, I mean, the way he went in on Miss Wheeler, he's obviously here for some of the other young ladies.
Yeah, like, he's here for it.
That's all I'm saying. Yeah. This is not his first rodeo. That's all I'm saying. Right. But again, we'll get to it, but Billy's arc was amazing this season, considering what he was last season as more of a character than a major player. But, well, let's talk. Let's you know, we're talking ahead. What the hell is the plot? What was the plot this season? I think it was adolescence and growing up and growing apart.
Yeah. I'd have to agree with that. I definitely have to agree with that.
I don't know about the growing apart, but I definitely agree with adolescence, growing up, changing. But what I see so far is changes, not growing apart. It's not true distance to me. So
not in the sense that not being friends is just your friendships are expanding and you're not spending every waking moment with your friends as you get older.
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe we're saying the same thing. I look at that as just growth instead of growing apart. But I think we're saying the same thing. I'll be quiet now.
No. We are. I think we are saying the same thing. Mm-hmm. I didn't mean it as such a, I didn't mean it so like drastically, like them going apart from each other forever. I just meant like them splitting up into groups and not seeing each other for, you know, most of the series, or them having different splintered friendships within their big group. Again, you know, the series started with the five boys, right? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's pretty good. I just think the show is just improving in quality. Oh, that's another part I wanted to talk about. Budgets. Do you see the money that's in the show now?
Oh, yeah.
The aerial shots.
Oh, yeah.
The special effects.
Bruh.
This is not the Demogorgon turning into, ash blown by a fan. It's like, oh my god damn.
Nah,
they spending
bread. They're spending bread.
And not in a bad way. They're not wasting it. I just thought that was tight.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't feel like it's wasted. Mm-hmm. I feel like they're really putting the money where it's supposed to go for a show like this. I love the progression.
Yeah. Yep.
Indeed, because I think as the kids get older, right, the 80s camp has to thin out a little bit, right? Because it's not going to be, you know, Goonies Part 8 and shit. So I appreciate the show doing that. Because I think, you know, people rely on that. People love Stranger Things because of the nostalgia. Mm-hmm. But now it's just part of, it's just the character as opposed to a spectacle. Ooh, look at that. See that? Like, one of my friends was, like, annoyed. But I think I thought he was talking about one thing, he was actually talking about another. And I thought he was talking about, like, the 80s movies they were showing stuff. I said, it's the 80s. But he was saying it's the 80s style of ragtag group of young actioneers type thing. He was saying they were doing similar tropes. But I'm like, you know, I think he's just framing it that way because of the 80s nostalgia, not the other way around.
Mm. But, gotcha.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that makes sense.
But I, you know, even to reiterate, I was very impressed with this season. And also, I don't know if this show can survive just on regular television, serialized. I think it's very binge worthy, and I think they write it and shoot it that way,
mm-hmm.
With the cliffhangers and such like that. So I just think that's the best way to enjoy it. Okay.
We're fortunate. So how did this very fortunate that we're able to binge this show straight up, because I remember, you know, that first season. I was talking to Morgan about it last night. I'm like, is it just the writing? What is it that makes you want to binge it? I mean, there are a lot of great shows that you just want to keep watching, but there's something about not just the cliffhangers, but there's something about the pace of the show and our concern for the kids that makes you just, you want to stay planted no matter what else you have to do the rest of the day. I'm going to be a little bit late for whatever's coming next.
I'll make time.
I'm going to make some time.
I've done that.
Yeah.
I've definitely done that. Watching it in the morning.
Like, it was there's something about
you don't even want to stop the episode halfway and finish it later. You want to get at least through the episode.
Right.
Let me get through the episode and then maybe I'll stop once I'm done with that.
I think some of the, and I'm curious to, I might revisit the first season to see if this is true, but I think just the amount of information and action that's taking place in every scene, there isn't a lot of downtime. Even when Max and Elle are, you know, having their conversations, there's quick cuts going to other things that are taking place. Like the comparison between the boys talking about girls and the girls talking about boys, like even that.
Yeah, it's a back and forth. Yeah,
yeah. Just the way they handle a lot of the conversations and interactions throughout the show. There's not too many down.
The more subtle moments come with the adults.
Yes.
Like quiet moments of reflection come more with the adults than the kids.
And it's not stretched out.
And I'm guessing the score probably follows that. I haven't listened intently, but like the kids probably have one score that's a little more frantic and kinetic, and the adults, because like the adults are just painted by
the adults are they're chaotic and frantic as fuck too. Like, Hopper can't figure out his ass from his face right now. Like, he is consistently fucking confused, and he's looking like a whole entire mess.
Yeah,
mess, hot, sticky mess. Yeah, definitely. Like,
yeah, like he's just so he is exact. He's a panic attack waiting to happen. It's just
and wait. Help me out, y'all. Even when he cleans up, he still looks a mess, right? This season.
He hasn't shaved. It's this weird, like, your stubble is ever present, but you know you trimmed part of that mustache, so, like, why didn't you clean up the rest of your face?
Right.
Yeah. He looks like he just woke up no matter what.
Yeah. Like he just, like his cleanup is wiping his face. Yeah.
That is what he does in the morning. Yeah, he wipes his face. He doesn't brush his teeth. He like gargles mouthwash and then he moves.
Definitely resembling a Frey right now.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's definitely resembling a Frey. Yeah. Yeah. He's rolling around in the castle. His father's yelling at him all the time. He can't find
all of that. Yes.
He's a Frey.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what's up. Yeah. All right. Comparison to previous seasons. How do y'all think this stands up?
I think this is my favorite season of Stranger Things. I really like this season. And it has never not been engaging, but this has been way more engaging to me.
Yeah.
This was way more fun to watch.
Do you think it was that cliche return to form, or you think they just did a good job in this season?
I think they did a good job in this season because it wasn't the same. And like we said, it's the same but different. It's not the same as it has been. There is different stuff happening. And I think the writing's gotten better. I think the kids being older, like there are weird moments like Will is taller than his mom now.
Yeah.
And that's weird, you know?
Yeah.
Like, but all of that, like growing with them is fun. Seeing how their stories change. I like how they put in all the puberty shit and, you know, like trying to figure out how to figure out emotion. Like all of that shit's real. I appreciated all of those things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. This is my favorite season. It definitely is my favorite season. And listeners, understand if you haven't seen the previous seasons, it's not to shit on previous seasons. Like this entire series has been amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Agreed.
It just keeps getting better and better, you know.
Amber, how many more? You're in touch with a group of people who start watching later in the season. You mentioned them all, or in the series, you mention these people all the time.
Yeah,
is this like a group you see online, or like people you actually know?
That's what it is. I'm starting to see more of it online, and even when I'm watching some of the other content creators. Some of the perspectives that they take, it's like, wait, did you just start watching this season and you're creating YouTube videos about it? Because I feel like you're not paying attention. So I just, you know, and then also, again, I remember going through this with Endgame and Infinity War, being in some of the Facebook groups and people are advising other people that you don't need to watch everything leading up to this point. If you just watch this one and this one, that'll be enough for you to understand what's going on. And it really... To me, that's a key indicator that you are missing things. If you think there's so many callbacks that happen with a lot of these shows and so many things that they refer to, if you think that just by watching, you know, an episode here and there or a season here and there and not really doing, you know, your due diligence with catching up on everything before this, then yeah, you have no idea what you're talking about. None. So yeah, I want to constantly remind people that, hey, listen. As great as we're saying this season is, the other two are boss. So don't just jump over it. And why are you listening right now? Anyways, what are you doing? Why are you doing this to yourself? Switch to a different podcast right now. You want to jump into rewatchability?
Well, I wanted to ask Af a question.
Oh, okay.
You ready? How many seasons do you think that this show can last? Do you think it has to be governed by their age? Maybe they stopped at high school, or how long do you think it goes?
I mean, I like to say as long as the writing's good, it can go another season or two. But I mean, I don't know. It's kind of hard to think of them as teenagers. It, like, for me, like, Morgan, you mentioned, like, you enjoy watching them grow, and, you know, it freaks me out. I don't really like that shit. Like,
I don't like that shit.
No, I'm like, no, you're dying. You need to stop kissing. That's what I'm like, how old are they? Like, what the fuck? So
I gotta admit, when they were kissing, I was like, stop, enough. Like, what,
yeah,
you guys,
like,
enough.
I'm cool. I'm good off that, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so I think they could do one or two more seasons as long as the writing is really good. I mean, I guess that would take them into high school, too. So, you know, we would all have to kind of, like, mentally prepare for that. What I don't want is, like, just to go on through them being in college and, like, you know, I don't need all of that. Yeah. I hope that they make another season and the show just ends and gets canceled. It's not like, oh, here's the series finale or a season finale. What do y'all feel like? What's your thoughts on that?
I wholeheartedly agree that this series deserves a proper send-off if they figure out when they want to end. I'm with you, Ab. I wouldn't like it just to end unceremoniously or it just get canceled and we just dealt with the last episode, which was the season finale, but now it's the series finale. I hate when they do that.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, Ab, were you saying that's what you want to happen?
Yeah, that's what I want.
Yeah.
I want to just poof, disappear.
Oh, you don't want a series finale?
Mm-mm.
Really?
Why? I don't want to be filled up. I don't want...
Does this have anything to do with Game of Thrones?
Maybe.
You
know, maybe.
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe. I'm still maybe raw. Not. I'm still raw about that.
Still raw. I got it. I got it.
You know? They got me anxious. Maybe.
There was no judgment in my question. It was just a question. Just want to be clear about that.
That is hilarious.
Sorry.
Sorry.
Oh shit. Well, I would like
I don't think I could
center.
Deal with another build up again. Like, I just, not the Stranger Things is on the
level
same,
right
same.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it's not on the same level either, but you know,
but it ain't.
It's its own thing.
Yeah.
It's definitely its own thing, and I can understand wanting it to just go away and not have, not be disappointed.
Yeah.
I can dig it.
Yeah, I don't think it has enough. I don't think it has enough seasons left in it to rise to that huge swell that Game of Thrones did. So all of the pressures and, you know, expectations and, we're also just not dealing with a lot of lore and foreshadowing and plot lines and arcs that had to be played out. Like, every season closes up. And that's one of the things I noticed and really loved about the first season. Like, the storyline's wrapped. Even though they left little threads, what you were experiencing within that season, that wrapped up. They do a really good job of that shit. So, yeah, I think maybe one more season. They can close it up, and that's it. We just need, you know. But again, we don't know what they got planned. But I would be totally fine with just a season four, and knowing that's the end of the season, that's the end of the series. I'd be cool with it. But yeah, we don't need to see these kids in college. We do not. They'll be different people. We just, like, what are we talking? Everybody's voice gets deep. Like, what are we talking about here?
I'm good with the, you know, with the solid number. So I would be good with five seasons. It seems like some shows go five. Close it out pretty well. And I think if they did two more seasons, they would be like 15, 16, like right in the middle of high school, and maybe somebody goes off to boarding school and it kind of breaks up that way. I mean, you know, but not to get ahead.
Right.
Of myself. So I'll stop myself just now.
So let me ask you guys this. Real quick, though. Let me ask you guys this before we go to rewatchability. You were saying that when they were kissing, it was like, could you guys stop? Not ready to see that yet. Why was it different for Arya? Was it because she was doing more adult shit? I mean, they were around the same age. So was it that she was killing? So it was like, oh, you can have some sex too because you kill people. Like, what was it that...
I think Arya was like 18. And 11 is like, I'm still socially awkward at 14.
Okay.
So, like, because to me, with her and Mike, it's like they're kissing a lot and all that stuff because that's her basic understanding of their relationship so far, which is being ushered in by Mike. That's why I like the Max influence and stuff, just to show her what being a boyfriend, girlfriend really can be, not just from his perspective, which, of course, is going to be biased.
Right.
Right? So, of course, it's going to be, you know, hugged up, heavy petting and kissing all the time because that's what a boy wants to do. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be all those other things, which I think that's why Max comes into play. So the difference, I mean, definitely with Ari, it is always that element of her being more murderous, so it makes her go older. But I still felt she was pretty young when she killed Marin Trent, when she was studying to be a faceless man. I think it's her posture and how she carried herself at the end of Game of Thrones.
Okay.
They grew her up more than the actual year she was on the show.
Got you. I definitely feel that. Yeah.
For me, I think it's more about just kind of like the overnight factor of it. Like, they were kids last season, and now they're... And I think that's kind of like the point of, like, they're showing you that they're growing up and that this is, like, you know, they were prepubescent, and now they're pubescent. But it's like, if Arya would have... I don't know, in, like, season three, if she was just, like, making out with some dude, like, it would have just been a little jolting. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, I think we got a lot more of Arya and her growth and her path and her development before we got to a point of her, you know, even caring about a guy, you know?
Right.
So, it was just more gradual, whereas for me, this was just, like, more, like, boom.
Okay.
In your face right away, kind of like even like opening sequence of the show, you know, like
boom.
We didn't even get to see the episode two.
Yeah, they set the tone. Oh, they're not kids anymore.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, like it was the point of it.
They've grown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool.
All right, so ladies and gents, these first four episodes, rewatchability. Would y'all rewatch some of these episodes? I'll kick it off. I love the Starcourt Mall episode, the Mallrats episode. I thought the colors. I watched the behind the scenes thing, and they went to real painstaking lengths to make the mall look like what an 80s mall looked like from, you know, the stores and the storefronts and stuff. And I was just right into it. I was like, I didn't do the mall a lot, but I did do the mall some. And so I thought that was cool to bring in another element of these kids as they grow up. You know, like y'all said, it was on Halloween before, and now here's another major part of a kid's life is the ball. And the fact that they had it looking so...
Summertime.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Going up and down the escalators, looking at girls, trying to crack on shorties. You know, I thought that was dope.
Right.
I also like the angle they played with the mall just locally and how a mall can severely damage small businesses in a town that small.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing them, I just thought it was dope that they even used that, you know, that they even talked about it.
Like, I thought it was just the decay of a small town, the way Main Street was like becoming abandoned. It took a couple
of
episodes.
That's because
I was like,
of the mall.
The mall, yeah. I was like, oh, it's the mall doing that. Like, not just the, you know, people leaving the town, I'm saying, whatever like that. Yeah.
That's the craziest part to me, is that nobody left that fucking town. Like, all this shit that's happened, all y'all stayed.
Because it's all nobody left that conspiracy town. Theories. None of them has really seen... Has anybody even seen the Demodog?
I feel like this is the first time.
Small population.
I feel like this is the first time, especially with the news coverage, where it was mentioned like 30 people died. And you know what I'm saying? Well, you know, not to get, definitely jumped too far.
Yeah, not to get ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, but this is the first time like it's been a huge, it's really impacted other
people. But
they
said it was a fire and the mall is a demon. So like, you know, it works out. So anyway, let's reel it back in.
Right.
Yeah.
So we'll go in real quick with the mall. Real quick with the mall. It was dope to see Sam Goody, Orange Julius. It was like the old Gap
Claire's
logo. Claire's. Oh, God.
pretty sure there was a Pizza Hut in there. I gotta watch it again in slow motion. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Like a Pizza Hut that you sit down in with the overhead chandelier lights and the smoking section, the low lying cumulus clouds.
Yes.
Y'all remember that? Yes. There would be a smoking section with this low hanging smoke right by those weird, nasty looking chandeliers that were low on your table.
Yes.
And it was next to all the restaurant. Yes.
It was like pool table chandeliers. Baby. Yeah.
Yes, terrible. Exactly.
Those stained glass ones. They were terrible.
That was their design. Yeah. Everything was so brown in there and red. Oh, my God. Wood paneling and everything. Oh, God. I was looking for a Roy Rogers, but I didn't see one, y'all.
I didn't see one in there either.
Yeah. All right.
I'm excited to finish up and talk about the rest of it.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Again, so y'all heard it here first. Podcast has no name. We think this is the best season thus far. So we hope that y'all tune in for part two coming soon. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, also, we got a Patreon. Stop playing. We got patreon.com.
Stop playing.
That will come with more promo, but stop playing. And we got more content. Like we said, we'll give you part two of this. And we have more saucy content to come.
Thanks for listening, y'all.
Say bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Peace.